As we begin this morning, I want to ask a question. In all the preaching and teaching of Christ, how many times did he ever become hostile in his message? How many times was he unconvincing? How many times was there hatred in his voice and revenge or hostility in his actions? There was a miracle that we looked at last week. This miracle of this blind man who received his sight. And that should have been enough for anyone. Even if Christ had not lived the last 2.5 years of his life producing all sorts of different miracles, this one miracle alone, along with his claims of who he was, should have been enough to convince, especially these Jews. Now we're going to read a long passage this morning, but it's important to get us into the context of where we're at. Our message is actually going to be from verses 13 through 34. But I want to go ahead and read one more time the miracle that precludes this. So John chapter 9, beginning in verse 9. And as he, Jesus, passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" And Jesus answered, "It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. And while I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And when he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, "Is not this the one who had sat and begged?" And others were saying, "This is he." Still others were saying, "No, but he is like him." And he kept saying, "I am the one." So they were saying to him, "How then were your eyes opened?" And he answered, "The man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went away and washed and received sight." And they said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I do not know." And they brought to the Pharisees the man who was formerly blind. Now it was a Sabbath on the day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And then the Pharisees, who were asking him again how he received his sight. And he said to them, "He applied clay to my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Therefore some of the Pharisees were saying, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others were saying, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him, since he opened your eyes?" And he said, "He's a prophet." And the Jews then did not believe it of him, that he had been blind and received sight, until they called the parents of the very one who had received his sight. And they questioned them, saying, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? Then how does he now see?" And his parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know. or who opened his eyes, we do not know. And asked him, ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. And the parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed him to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. So a second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He then answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. So they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples too, do you? And they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. And we know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he is from. And the man answered and said to them, well, here is an amazing thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. And since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. And if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And they answered him, you were born entirely in sins, and you are teaching us? So they put him out. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, your word that at this point, I could almost close our Bibles, and this could be our concluding prayer, because it is so clear how you speak. Father, I pray that the words that come out of my mouth this morning are those that you'd have me to speak. And that, Father, you would transform them into words of life for those who may not know you. Father, we thank you for all that you do. We thank you, Lord, for your Son. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. It's really interesting how far we go to fight for things that we believe in. To where we won't even entertain anything else, no matter how true they are. And we're going to go through a little the exploits here of these Jewish men and their reaction to Christ. And they're in a sense, they are holding a trial here on this miracle. They are going to look to see just how this miracle could be. And if you notice, I entitled this morning, When Evidence Doesn't Matter. For you see, these Jews, these Jewish leaders, these men who are hostile to Christ, they have already made up their mind of who he is. And as we go through this passage, you know, notice a couple things. Number one, no one was allowed to confess Christ for the message that he said who he was, or they would have been cast out of the synagogue. Very important as we go through this. So notice, we begin at verse 13 this morning. They brought to the Pharisees the man who was formerly blind. You know, here's this guy. This is the next day. And they bring him to the Pharisees. You know, and I imagine they're bringing him. This is probably his friends and his companions or people that have known him to be blind. And they bring him to the Pharisees, the leaders, because they have questions. biggest question is, how? What happened here? Verse 14. Now it was a Sabbath on the day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. All right. First bad news. Here's another miracle that Jesus performs on the Sabbath. Now, a couple things about this is Jesus used spit. Great thought. But spit was thought to have had some kind of medicinal value. What? Why? How? I don't know. So by doing this, by healing him in this way, it broke all their Sabbath laws. Now, if this man had been dying, if he had been crushed by a cart or a chariot, you were allowed then to remove him from the danger. You were allowed to kind of stabilize him, but you weren't allowed to do anything that would improve his condition, because that would be considered work. Okay. This is how crazy these things were. So it was a Sabbath day when Jesus opened his eyes. And that's going to be the focus of their main issues here. Verse 15, then the Pharisees were also asking him again how he received his sight. And he said to them, so, you know, we're going to see one word over and over again, at least three times. Again. All right. They're asking him again. You know, and it's kind of like, you know, I love, you know, law enforcement shows. NCIS and things like that. They're my favorites. Okay. And part of the process is they get these guys into this room and they start questioning them. And I don't know how many times I've watched these shows when, you know, the guy that they're questioning looks like, I've already told you that. Well, that process hasn't changed over time. This is basically where they're at with this story. So the Pharisees were asking him again how he received his sight. Okay, so he said, he applied clay to my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Pretty simple. You know, he didn't go into all the detail. I was just sitting there minding my own business, didn't know who this guy was. He came, started talking to me. No. He spit on my eyes. He told me to go wash. I came out and I could see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, this man is not from God. Another key thing to this that we see, we read near the end, verse 32, at the end of this conversation, the man says, since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. Now, I led off last week's sermon with miracles from the Old Testament, okay, and how they weren't really all that abundant, but they were there. But according to this, one miracle was not present. And of all of time, was a blind man receiving sight. So, Jesus did this. And their conclusion, again, remember, their minds are already made up. This man is not from God, because he did not keep the Sabbath. Okay. Throw away the evidence of the miracle. No one ever having their eyes opened who were blind. But because we have this asterisk next to it, this was done on the Sabbath, it can't be right. Now remember, Jesus already fought this argument with these leaders. Chapter 7, where he said, God works on the Sabbath, so I also work on the Sabbath. But this miracle can't be a miracle. It can't be of God because it was done on the Sabbath. But others among them were saying, well, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? Yeah, how does that happen? And there was a division among them. So where do they go? Do they go higher up the chain to the chief priest? Do they go into the Holy of Holies and try to ask God himself? No. So they said to the blind man again, what do you say about him since he opened your eyes? They're giving a little bit of credence now to what happened. So what do you say about this man since he opened your eyes? And this man is instantly turned into some kind of a theologian. So, I don't know. Must be some kind of a prophet. I mean, and by saying he's a prophet, what is he saying? He's from God. I mean, only God can open the eyes of someone born blind. Verse 18. I mean, in these first 17 verses, we see the hostility of the Jews. We see the way they do not want to hear anything. Next, we're going to see that even the evidence itself can't convince. Verse 18, the Jews then did not believe it. You have Christ who's been telling you who he is. You've got this man who was born. I mean, you've got all his other miracles that point to the power of God. You've got this man who was born blind who now sees because of Christ. And they did not believe it. They did not believe that he had been blind and had received sight. So we're going to dismiss the whole thing. This is some kind of a ruse. You were never blind to begin with. They won't believe it. They didn't believe that he'd been blind and received sight until they called the parents of the very one who had received his sight. And they questioned them, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? If so, how does he see? Now, we got some very diplomatic parents. Because understand where they're coming from. Jewish life and the synagogue was central to their lifestyles. And as we're going to read just in a couple sentences, anyone who confesses Christ or gives Christ credence to anything that he says will be kicked out of the synagogue. So here's these parents. They know that this is their son. They know that their son has always been blind, and they now know that he sees. So listen to this diplomatic answer. Is this your son, who you say was born blind? Well, how does he now see? And his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and we know that he was born blind. But now he sees. And we do not know how or who opened his eyes. Look, you came and dragged us out of our home and brought us before you. Yes, that's our son. Yes, he was born blind. Two, he sees now. We don't know how. We don't know who did this to him. Ask him. And they're kind of passing the buck. Because this man was never part of the synagogue. Because remember, anybody with any kind of disability, physical disability, it was because of what? Sin. Disciples asked Jesus, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he is born blind? So he was never in the synagogue. The parents, they were, and they didn't want to lose it, so they passed the buck. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. And his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed him to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Wimpy parents. Ignoring evidence. Don't you think even they would have been curious of how their son, who had been blind for as many years as he lived, now had received sight? No, because his parents were just as blind as the Jews, who were just as blind as this man had been all of his life. Ask him, he's of age. So, they go back to him again. They ask a second time. Now, so we saw the hostility. We see that they can't be convinced because of the proof. Now we'll see their irrational nature. So the second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God, for we know that this man is a sinner. Okay, so there's our answer. God made you see. So give glory to him, not this man that they won't even say his name, because he's a sinner. So he answered, whether he's a sinner, that I do not know. But I do know I was blind, and now I see. And it's because of him. I mean, the rationale here that's used, when the Jews see Jesus, they're coming, they're trying to fill their preconceived notion. A, Jesus healed on the Sabbath. B, God would never heal on the Sabbath. So A plus B equals C, Jesus cannot be God. Well, this man kind of turns that logic around. He says, A, Jesus made me see. B, only God can cause blind eyes to see. A plus B equals C, Jesus must be of God. They're not liking the way this is going. So they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? I mean, I don't know what they're, you know. Did he perform some kind of surgery? You know, did he take you back in some back room and slice into your eyes? How did he open your eyes? And he answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. So why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples too, do you? You know, and the sarcasm here is just remarkable. And this man, we're going to see, go from a simple blind man sitting all his life next to the synagogue to an enhanced theologian talking to these men. You don't want to become his disciples too, do you? And they reviled him and said, no, but you're showing yourself to be his disciple. And we know that we are disciples of Moses. So going back again to their Old Testament roots, our father Abraham, we follow Moses. And Christ, who all this time has been telling them that he is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. So we know that God has spoken to Moses. But as for this man, we do not know where he is from. Now remember, Jesus has already told them where he is from. Over and over and over again. I and the Father are one. I have come down out of heaven. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we don't know where he is from. And the blind man who had been made to see answered and said to them, well, well, well. Here's an amazing thing. That you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. Staring at the truth and the evidence of who Christ truly is, they have the Old Testament prophesying all of this stuff about Christ. Where he was to come from, how he was to be born, how he would live his life, how he would perform miracles. Well, well, well. You do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. God doesn't do what sinners ask. Jesus performed only what God can do. Hence, Jesus is not the sinner you say he is. Since the beginning of time, it's never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. So if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Case closed. Your Honor, the defense rests. And they answered him, you were born entirely in sins, and you are teaching us? So they put them out. They become abusive. Here's a man that was never part of the synagogue to begin with. You're born a sinner entirely in your sins because you were born blind. We don't really care that you now see. That's irrelevant. We're done talking to you. Go away. When evidence doesn't matter. Now we are going to be confronted in this way most every time we go out and confess Christ to somebody. As the gospel is going to be given, people will fail to heed. these scribes, these Pharisees, these Jewish leaders, most of those in Jesus' audience on this day were spiritually blind to the things of Jesus and what he was saying. They couldn't see the miracle with all its evidences. La 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 la. And that's how we will be treated. People will be hostile to us. No matter what we say, we will not be able to convince them. They'll then become irrational in their thinking. Well, it doesn't really matter that that happened. It was done on the Sabbath, so it doesn't matter. And then they'll become abusive. Let's throw them out. Get them out of my sight. I don't want to have anything to do with them. Next week, we'll see the finish of this story. And we'll see Jesus coming, giving another explanation of who he is. For Jesus truly loved his people. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. If you don't see the truth of who Christ is, I mean, remember, this man's life was changed forever. He was once blind, but now he sees. If we know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, if we bow down to him in submission and repentance and faith, our eyes have been opened to the things of who he is. And our life will forever be changed because of it. Guys, there's many people today born physically blind who get around relatively well in this world. They're a master with their cane. Their other senses are enhanced. And for the most part, they don't really even miss sight because they've never had it to begin with. This man sitting by the temple, that's all he knew. Darkness. He didn't know anything else. And Jesus happened by him one day. Made some clay out of his spit and dirt. Sent him to wash. And he came out seeing. Can you even imagine? How did this happen? I told you. No, tell us the truth. How did this happen? I told you. No, tell us really what happened. You know, I'm sure this poor guy, not wanting to be rude, knowing the company that he was keeping, didn't want to say, "Are you guys ignorant? Are you idiots?" All I know is that yesterday I was blind. Today I see. And it's because of this man, Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord, this morning that as you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, that, Father, you would heal the blind spiritual eyes of those in this world today. Father, we know that the power is from you. Father, even this man confessed that only God can heal the eyes of someone born blind. And in the same way, only God can heal the spiritual eyes of those born blind. Father, may we who see confess you to a world who's still in blindness. Father, not that we need to be convincing in our words, though we need to know what we're saying. But Father, that we need to be obedient to the call of the Great Commission that you have sent us on, knowing that your Spirit will then use our words to open blind eyes. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. And Father, we pray that you would continue, Lord, to help us on this journey through this evil world, professing the love of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. For we pray this in your name.